Thank you so much for that song. It sounded amazing, first of all, you guys. But the lyrics in there speak volumes, and it's amazing how God puts these things together. He orchestrates them. He plans them. There's a couple of phrases in there that speak of, the one phrase was repeated over, that I believe, that really speaks in today's sermon. Taking all I have and laying it down at your feet. We can only do that. We can only surrender. We can only take all that we have and lay it down at the feet of Jesus when we understand his character, who he is, and then believe him in him wholeheartedly. Thank you so much. God is good at choosing songs for us that complement his word. Let's pray. Let's pray as we go into his word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you reveal truth to us through your word. And God, again this morning, would you speak to us through your word? Would you impact our lives? Would you change our lives? Would the word be powerful, convicting our lives, teaching us, rebuking us, loving us through your word? Thank you for this time together. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Again, continuing on in our series, we're almost done. After this sermon, there will be next Sunday, Pastor Dan will speak on gentleness, I believe it is. And then Pastor Simon will wrap up at the end of the year, the last Sunday, with self-control. And I thought, my goodness, how fitting is that as well? God also lines up timelines as self-control as we go into the new year, right? Turn with me in your Bibles, and we're going to read Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 25. I know we've read this lots over this past series, but it's good. Repetition is good. We get to know it. We get to understand it. It applies to our hearts and our lives. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll start at verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, here's the opposite of that, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And that's where we'll stop. This passage of Scripture is often, if you'll notice in your Bibles, it's often entitled Walk by the Spirit or Live by the Spirit. Verse 16, of course, begins, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Verse 25, when we're getting to the end of the chapter, again reiterates that. It states it again, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. We know and we realize that when things are repeated, we know that these are things that we need to take note of. These are special things. These are highlighted things. In fact, walk by the Spirit isn't just a comment or a random suggestion. In fact, walk by the Spirit is a command. It's a command that can only be obeyed, however, as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, gives us the desire, both the desire and the power to do so. We need to learn to continually surrender to his leading, and to his empowering presence. And when we talk about surrender, this is a challenging word for us. This is a challenging word for me, the aspect of surrender. Because when we talk about surrender, it's talking about total and complete surrender. Surrender of myself. This type of surrender has to do with surrender of my will. Surrender of all my desires, of all my passions, of all of those things. Complete surrender. We sing this in songs. God, I surrender. The special number had it in there. Surrender my life. Do we mean that? When we surrender, sing and say or talk about surrender, are we talking that we are completely surrendering everything? My will, my passions, my desires, my dreams, my thoughts completely to God. This type of surrender is dependent on our view of God. Because if we don't have a high view of God, if we don't have a view of God that He is God Almighty, that He is the only one true God, that there is no other God, that He is the self-existent God, that He is the all-powerful God, if we don't have that view of Him to be able to supply all our needs, to meet all our needs, if we don't have that view of Him, then how can we surrender to Him? And the Bible gives us the characteristics of who God is. And as fact is, if we're walking through the fruit of the Spirit, the characteristics of each one of these, or these virtues or characteristics, are each part of who God's character is. It's important that we understand and we know the very character of God in order to be able to trust Him wholeheartedly. Because first of all, we trust Him with our salvation. We surrender to Him because we want to be saved from sin and the eternal lake of fire. And that surrender carries on. It's complete surrender, total abandonment of us, of me, of my. Do you remember the account back in Numbers chapter 13? I'll just read Numbers chapter 13, verse 2. Send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give to the sons of Israel. You remember this? This is a very familiar story in the church, in the Connect programs and Sunday school programs. This is a very familiar story. We used to sing songs. 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were... That's the only singing you're going to get out of me today. But we know that song. If you're my age and older or in there, you know of that. And I'm young, so you know, the younger people, you know that song. You know this story. God said, send these people out. I have promised, let's read this again, send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which, God speaking, which I am going to give you. If we have a high view of who God is when He says, this is what I'm going to give you, then we will walk in it believing that He will give this to us. But what happened? 10 of them saw that this was, they saw these great men. And I know for a fact, I don't know for a fact because I wasn't there, but I'm pretty sure that like us, when they're looking at all of these giants, there was probably some exaggeration going on. Because that's what we do, because it's got to sound worse than it really is, especially when these two guys here, they understand that when God says, I am going to give to the sons of Israel, they knew who God was in His very character. And they believed. That is the view that the believer needs to have. God's very character of faithfulness is faithfulness. And if the Israelite people would have just looked a little bit, man, it wasn't very far in their history at all of the bondage that they were in and the bondage that God Himself took them out of that captivity. God led them by this warm fire and light by night, and a cloud to protect them in the summer by day. Every day he fed them. He gave them water. Their shoes didn't wear out. This is evidence of who God is. Don't we know the character of God? When their shoes don't wear out, he cares about their feet, for crying out loud. That's who God is. He loves people. He desires intimate relationship. He reveals his character over and over and over again. And now he's promising this land. I am going to give you, this is the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. It's yours. I'm going to give it to you. But if you don't have a big enough view of God, then you're going to wander around in the desert for a while. Do you believe the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit? Do you believe, in fact, we teach this, that God has given us the indwelling Holy Spirit? Do you believe that? We have to believe that because it says it in his word. And in his word, it's his very character. Truth is his very character. We have to believe that the Spirit indwells every believer. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "But I will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." Believe that. Believe Philippians 2:13. For God is, and I like that, I've said it before, and I always read this, or generally read this in the NLT, because it is, for God is working in you, giving you both the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He gives us the desire, that the Spirit is indwelling us. We can believe it because he said it. He is truth. When we walk in obedience, we do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not left on our own. And when we walk by the Spirit, we're not giving in to the desires of the flesh. In the first part of this verse, it's like oil, and the second part is like water, and they don't mix. That's what they're showing us in this. This is how the world lives. This is how it is to be led by the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. They're not the same. There's a separation. There's a divide. They can't mix. And the Spirit negates and nullifies the power of the flesh. And the Spirit has taken up residence in every believer. We have the power. That is the power we walk in. That is the power we live in. And God, through the person of, I'm just jumping ahead a bit. God, through the person of the power, Holy Spirit, desires to lead our steps if we allow him to. Again, the need for total and complete surrender. Surrender, complete control of every area of our lives, our desires, our passions. Then he leads our steps. How does he lead our steps? He's not with me in the sense that he's in front of me leading me, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, he leads us. Through the word, his word that he has given to us, he leads us. He gives very clear direction in his word. He gives very clear direction through prayer. The Bible, the word of God, sets the course, and the Spirit in us provides the power for us to walk obediently in that direction. We're not alone. We're not expected to wing it. Walking, of course, walking gives that picture of you're putting one step ahead of the other, right? There's movement. And it's referring to our spiritual journey, putting one foot in front of the other in our spiritual journey, so to speak, in our spiritual walk. As we walk in the path of obedience to Scripture, empowered again by the Holy Spirit. Walking by the Spirit isn't simply a passive surrender. Instead, it's complete surrender. Walking in the Spirit implies growth. Grow in your dependence on God. As you grow in your knowledge of who God is, as you grow in your trust for who God is, his characteristics, you will grow in your dependence on him, dependence on the Holy Spirit. Grow in your Christ-likeness so that when people see you, they will see evidence of Christ being seen in your life. The fruit of the Spirit being evident, so evident in our lives. In verse 17, we see this incredible conflict. For the flesh sets the desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. We cannot simply be passive in this because of the conflict. Our flesh that is with us until we are glorified is in total and complete opposition to the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. There's a war going on. And the Holy Spirit works to prevent us from doing the things that please the flesh. So we recognize that walking in the Spirit is a battleground. There's a constant battle going on. In order for us to be faithful to walk by the Spirit, we must apply the means of grace, which is given by the Lord God himself. He's given it to us in his word, through prayer, through Christian fellowship, like we're doing here today. All of the things that strengthen us against the flesh. There's a huge contrast to what the flesh produces in verses 18 to 21 and what the Spirit produces in 22 to 23. The list in verses 19 to 21 define the life in the fallen world. And in verses 22 to 23, we have a new life in Christ. We have heard, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We've been going through all of this in the last number of weeks. We've been going through this. And the Spirit produces something very contrary to what the flesh produces. The nine virtues that make up the fruit of the Spirit, that is what sanctification is, in fact. It is the presence of these virtues in ever-increasing dimensions in our lives, lived out in our lives, in fact. They are there when we walk by the Spirit as a new believer, and they are there when you walk in the Spirit as a long-term believer, long-time believer. Today, what we're looking at in the virtues, the characteristics, today we're looking at faithfulness. In Scripture, faithfulness usually refers to a person's belief or faith in God. The context in this passage takes on a little bit of a different meaning. It's a virtue, a characteristic, meaning a person. It's a person that one can rely on, one can trust. They're dependable. In a word, this component of the fruit of the Spirit describes one's trustworthiness, loyalty, reliability, obedience, consistency, dependability, devotedness. A synonym for faithfulness is the word fidelity, faith, to trust, to be trustworthy, to be true to the facts of the original. If God is our original, then we need to be true to the facts of the original, of God himself. And God is the original. We know that. Meaning that there is an ever-increasing, exacting resemblance of the Father. That's what that means. We continually take on the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. The Father, of course, who is trustworthy. He is faithful. And the power for this to take on those characteristics, living in a fallen world, they come from the indwelling Holy Spirit. In Acts 6, verse 5, Stephen was chosen because he was found to be full of faith and controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the source of faithfulness. Faithfulness and the Holy Spirit go together. That's why faithfulness is the fruit of the Spirit. In the flesh, living in the flesh, we are not going to be faithful. In your flesh, you're not going to be trustworthy. Oh, we're trustworthy. The world can be trustworthy to a point, but not trustworthy when you view it as one of God's characteristics. You're not going to be as loyal as God is. You're not going to be as truthful as God is. You're not going to have a deep honesty, just an incredible honesty, the characteristic of faithfulness. You will not have that. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, he produces that in you and through you, and it stays there. It manifests. It grows. God is, again, showing a characteristic of faithfulness. If you look throughout the scriptures, you will find one thing only, that he is always faithful. You will find that he is always loving. He always is joyful, gentle. These are characteristics of the Heavenly Father. These are characteristics that the indwelling Holy Spirit should be producing in our lives. They should be evident in our lives. They should actually just be overflowing in our lives because we understand who God is in his goodness, in his love for us, in his care for us, in his compassion. So as we go from here today, what does that mean to me? What are some things, some practical things that I can walk away with? I like practical things. What can I walk away with? You're not going to like the first one. The first one's going to be hard, or can be hard. It's hard for me. Surrender. We need, if we have not surrendered completely, we have to. We need to, as a child of God, we need to surrender completely to have the fruit living in and out through us. Surrender, again, is giving up the rights to myself. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Surrender means giving up your independence. Surrender means giving up your goals and your pursuits. But not everything is bad. Why do I have to give up everything? Well, God is not saying that you have to necessarily give up some good things, but make sure that his will is your will, that your will, your desires, your passions flow out of his will. That's what it's talking about, that we surrender our will and his will, God's will, becomes my will. That's what surrender is talking about. This is where the battle has to be fought, in surrender, because the flesh in the believer is still fighting for independence. There's a battle going on there. It is opposed, that flesh that we still carry around as believers, it is still opposed to being completely trustworthy, dependable, reliable, pure motives, not self-centered, not self-glorifying. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of faithfulness in very practical terms means complete surrender to God, to following him, to serving him where he calls you, to serving him when he calls us. And then when he calls us, when we begin serving, when we're following where God calls us, there's a point of, in this faithfulness, there's the aspect of then being dependable, being trustworthy. The very character of God flowing out of our lives as we serve. You wouldn't consider me very faithful if I only came every other Sunday and there was nobody to preach. Fortunately, we do have lots of preachers in our church. But part of that spirit of faithfulness is being dependable, being reliable, being trustworthy as we serve. When God tells us the picture of Canaan that God promised the Israelites, it's a picture for us of the promised land that God has promised us, which is abundant life. I have come to give you life, to give you life to the full, to give you abundant life. Are we too scared to walk in that abundant life? Are we still seeing that, like the Israelites, when they're saying they were stuck in this bondage, they were whipped, they were beaten, their life was poor, it was horrible. They were stuck in that bondage. That's the bondage that we are stuck in before we become believers. And now God is saying, I will give you life to the full. Do you trust me? Do you believe me? Do you believe me enough to surrender everything that though the obstacles, they look like giants, when God says, I will give you power and the desire, do you believe that? Do you believe when God tells you something that it is true? Do you believe it enough to surrender? And this is the confidence that we can go away with. In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, man, it's a beautiful passage. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Those two men, those two spies that saw Canaan as the promised land and saw God as bigger than the giants, as bigger than all of the fears they had, they understood that. Well, if God is for us, if he is on our side, and as a child of God, he is on our side, we have nothing to fear. Man, if somebody is asking you to teach Sunday school, if somebody is asking you to lead youth, and then that somebody being God, are you willing to surrender to say that if God is for us, what can I lose? Even if I don't feel capable of doing those things. Maybe it's doing nursery, working in the childcare, working in youth. Maybe it's ushering. Maybe it's working on serving on the worship team. I don't know where God's calling you. Maybe it's overseas. Are you willing to surrender? Oh, that is such a challenging word. But God says, if I am for you, then who's going to be against you? And then he tells us, he who did not spare his own son. This is sacrifice. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all. How will we not also with him? Sorry, I read that wrong. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? He will give us what we need to be faithful, to surrender everything. We will not be lacking anything. Let's pray. Pray with me. Oh God, you did not withhold anything from mankind. You gave mankind everything, including your one and only Son. Father, may we see you as we read your word, where may we understand your character of love, compassion, faithfulness, that you are the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. You are never changing. God, if there's areas in my life that I need to surrender to you, would you, through your Holy Spirit, convict me today? Father, if I have lacked trust in you, forgive me and help my unbelief. May I see you as you portray yourself, as you give us your word, you give us this picture of who you are, that being a dependable God. May I read your word and may I see you as the one and only God of truth, comfort, patience, faithfulness. God, may I surrender myself to you. God, may I surrender all that I am, all my own selfish desires, my selfish hopes and dreams. May I surrender to you. I surrender them to you here today. Father, may you be honored and glorified through all these things. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.